Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We welcome you here today. We welcome all those who will be listening on the internet today and also those who are tuned in to our radio station. Thank you for doing that, and we wish each of you a happy Sabbath. As I begin this message today from Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, I'd invite you to join me in prayer, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, Father, we're praying that your Holy Spirit will be here to guide us. Give us clarity of thought. Help us to rightly divide your word of truth. And I pray, Lord, that through your grace, you would impress that upon our hearts so that it would affect how we live our life for you. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. We see here that Daniel knew that the writing had been signed according to this text. He went into his house. He went upstairs to this upper room, the window being open in the chamber. He looked towards Jerusalem. He knelt down and he prayed. It was his custom to pray three times a day. The window, as we know, not only lets light and fresh air in, but it had some other significance here in this story. And that is that it had his heart and his mind fixed on Jerusalem. But Daniel was not the only one that had his heart and mind fixed on Jerusalem. I'd like to invite you to turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 122. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. Psalm 122, beginning at verse 1. We see in this story here in Psalm 122, beginning at verse 1, that David also had his heart and mind tuned towards Jerusalem. It says here in verse 1 that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, and our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And so the hearts and minds of David and also of Daniel was focused towards Jerusalem because that's where God's throne was represented. That's where the worship went. It's centered there in Jerusalem in their worship to God. It was a constant reminder to Daniel that he was a pilgrim and a stranger in a foreign land. This was not his home. He turned his heart and his mind toward Jerusalem, where he grew up, where the throne of God was represented. He knew Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. And you've probably read it yourself, but I'd like to read it for you again, in part. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we look at verse 46 through 49. 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse 46. In 1 Kings 8, beginning at verse 46, it says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray toward up unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. You see, the focus of these folks, no matter how far they were carried away from Jerusalem, their hearts and their minds were still fixed on Jerusalem because that was the throne where God was at. That's where the worship centered was in Jerusalem. And Solomon understood that when they had called out to God and repentance, And they have asked for forgiveness, that God would hear that, and at some point in time, he would bring them back to the land from where they were taken. It took courage for Daniel, because you see in Daniel chapter 6, we see there that when Daniel knew that the writing in verse 10 had been signed, it did not sway him from doing what he knew was right. He had principles, and he had an established prayer life with God. And he was not going to let anything or anyone keep him from doing what he felt in his heart. You look in Daniel chapter 1 at verse 8. It says there that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had purposed in their heart that they were not going to do something that would turn against God. Now listen, there's a lesson there for every one of us. When they left Jerusalem, they had already purposed in their heart that no matter what came before them, no matter how they were tempted, no matter what they were forced to do, they were going to purpose in their heart to be faithful to God if it cost them their life. And you can read the story in Daniel. They were threatened many times. They had many challenges as Christians in that foreign land. And yet they purposed in their heart beforehand that they were not going to be unfaithful to God. Now, there's a lesson for you and I in this today. That if we would pray to God and honestly serve him with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, and we would purpose in our heart that no matter what the devil did to us, no matter how he tried to tempt us and lead us astray, if we purposed in our heart that we're going to be faithful to God, no matter if it cost us our life, God will honor that and bless each one of us. God calls us to be faithful to him. Under the law of the Medes and the Persians, which prohibited all subjects of the kingdom to ask anything of their God for the space of 30 days, we see in Daniel chapter 6 here at verse number 7 that all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. And whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. The king thought he was doing something good for his kingdom. He didn't realize that he was being tricked into doing something that was destructive to his friends. You know, there's a lot of things that get passed sometimes that seem good on the surface. But when you look beneath and you see how they play out, it could be pretty destructive to many people who don't fall in line with that decision. Daniel continued his prayer life. No matter what. His enemies knew that there was nothing that they could say about Daniel except that he prayed three times a day. And that's why they convinced the king to be able to make this decree that nobody could pray to any other god except to him. They acknowledged that the only fault that they could find with him was that he prayed to his God. You see that in Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They acknowledge that. It takes character, friends, to keep the window open and praying to your God when you know that there has been a decree sent out, a death decree, that if you defy that decree, something tragic is going to happen. We have to have courage in this world in which we live today. God's people in these last days are going to be challenged like never before. We're living in the end of time. Amen. Time is getting shorter and shorter for everyone in this world, whether we're Christian or not. This world is coming to an end, and many people, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, they recognize there's something tragic happening in the world around us. They realize that we can't sustain this world in the way we're going now. Something has to change. And that change is Jesus coming back and fixing everything that the devil has broken in this world. And Jesus is going to take his people who love him with all of the heart, mind, body, and soul, and he's going to take them to a better place that he's prepared up in heaven for them. I want to be there, don't you? And I hope that when we get to heaven, friends, that we can live in the same community. I want to see you there. And I hope that we'll be neighbors up there in heaven together. God is calling for us to be faithful to him. It's a reason for us to be sincere about our examination, about where we're at with God. Daniel was a man of prayer. He had a lot of responsibilities in the kingdom. He was in charge of all of the other people there. They did not like Daniel because he was a foreigner. And yet he came there and the king put him above everybody else. But he had his regular devotions. That's important, friends. You know, usually when I preach on this subject or prayer, I see so many people doing this. Mercy. It can just about put you to sleep. Except for the fact that if you have a relationship with God, you kind of perk up when you hear this, because you know that this prayer life of yours and mine is the lifeblood of the Christian. Jesus says that he is the vine in John chapter 15, and we are the branches. So what is it that flows from Jesus, the vine, to us, the branches? It is his power. And how do we receive that? It's because we do like Daniel, and we kneel down, and we pray to our God in heaven. And we receive his power through prayer. Friends, listen. Without prayer, you and I are powerless as Christians. We need God's prayer. How can we develop a relationship with God without it? It is impossible. How can we fight the devil every day through the trials and temptations and struggles that life puts before us without prayer to God? Jesus wants us to make the kingdom of God first. He wants us to be faithful. You listen to what David did in Psalm chapter 55. Listen to this. And you think that Daniel was the only one that ever prayed? Well, you know, David was busy too. He had a large kingdom that he had to run. I mean, you know, besides being busy on the rooftop sometimes, watching his neighbor, besides trying to plot how to kill his neighbor's husband, he also was busy running the kingdom. But David says this in Psalms chapter 55, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. What about you? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time with God to develop that relationship that you need to withstand the rigors of this life? Have you been spending time with God? We need to be able to spend time with God and make sure that we have God first and foremost in our life. Matthew chapter 6, you look in verses 24 through 33. It encourages us to be able to make God first in our daily life. Make God first. You know, the Bible there in Matthew 6 gives the description between those people who have a need and those people and how they seek after it. The pagans seek after it, and that's all they want, is whatever they can gain for the day. And God says God's people needs to be able to focus on him first, and God will take care of all of the rest. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Okay. Listen to what God's saying, friends. We spend too much time trying to get the world into our life. We try too hard to make a living and make everything fit and work out the way we expect it to. And we don't rely on God enough to do what he wants to do for us. God wants to bless us. And if we will put him first, he will give us everything that we need in our life. You know what piety is? That's the quality of being religious or reverent. And God wants us to be pious in how we relate to him. The open window that Daniel and David shared, they also were pious people. They were religious. They were reverent before their God. And I believe that God wants us to have that as the highest expression in life, is that we pray to our God in heaven. We're faithful in that. Our prayer life should be an inspiration. It should encourage us. It should strengthen us. It should bring God into our life on a daily basis. And if we're too busy to spend time in prayer, we're too busy doing everything else, guess what? We're just way too busy. We need to be able to spend some time in speaking to God and allowing him to speak to us. You know, we don't pray to prove that God will keep his promises or to prove that he loves us. We pray because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's promises are true and that he is able to keep them. We pray because we know that God loves us supremely, and that's why he went to the cross of Calvary for each one of us. We don't have to try and prove that God loves us. Jesus did that when he died on the cross. He proved to the world that his love was for us. It was supreme. Daniel knew about the promises to his captive that God's people were in. He was a student of Bible prophecy. You see in Daniel chapter 9, in Daniel chapter 9 at verses 1 through 2, here in Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." He understood that. He understood what was going to happen. That at the end of those 70 years, God's people were going to be able to return back to Jerusalem. Daniel probably was not going to be alive to see that. He knew that. But that did not change the fact that he prayed earnestly that God's people would be blessed by going back to the promised land of Jerusalem. He still prayed for it, even though he was not able to receive it himself. In Hebrews chapter 11, you see here in verse number 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is calling for us to be faithful and to be guided by his Spirit, and we need to have prayer in our life, friends. You wonder why sometimes why our efforts, our best efforts, are not accomplishing what we wanted to. Maybe we need to start thinking about, where am I at with Jesus today? What is my prayer life like? Do I have the power and blessing of heaven going with me in my walk with Jesus every day? Where are you at with Jesus today? Giving your life once to Jesus and being baptized a number of years ago, whatever number that is not enough. On a daily basis, we need to come to Jesus Christ. We need to confess our sins. And we need to ask for his forgiveness and cleansing. And we need, by the power of his Holy Spirit and his grace, to repent. That means to turn away and stop doing those things that separate us from God. This needs to be a daily experience. Once is not enough. God is calling for us to be faithful in our prayer. Daniel's prayer life, David's prayer life, Solomon's prayer, this is a lesson for God's people today, friends. The secret of great and useful lives is found in this consistent life of prayer. The person who knows about God, about his power, about his blessings, those are the people that will think big and do big things for God. God is calling for us to be a person who will pray to him diligently. If we honor God, guess what happens? God honors us. Isn't that true? Amen. It's a two-way street. If we don't honor God and we keep calling out for God to honor us, do you think God's going to do that? I don't think so. I think it's a two-way street here. If we honor God, if we show him that we love him, that we really honor him, then God is going to do something to honor us as well. We'll do well to keep the window of our life open towards this new Jerusalem, the heaven that Jesus has promised in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He has promised that he's going to come back here and take us to that place that he has prepared for us, a place that's much grander than where you live today. Much better than what we experience in this life today. A place where there are never going to be any of the problems and struggles and strife that we have today. A place where there'll never be illness, there'll never be pain, there'll never be anger, there'll never be sadness. There'll only be a happy life for eternity with Jesus Christ. Thank you for all those amens. Yeah. It's true, friend. Heaven is not some fictitious thing that God has put in the Bible just to be able to encourage us and excite us about something. It's real. There are many people that understand that. The Bible writers understood that heaven is real. Is it real to you? Has the second coming of Jesus died out in your walk with the Lord? Do you still believe that Jesus is going to return and that someday he's coming back for you to take you to that place that he has prepared, that new Jerusalem? We need to be praying towards that new Jerusalem, to the throne of God, and wishing and praying that God would come soon. He promised that he would come quickly. Well, what is quickly? Quickly for God's a little different than it is for you and me. Quickly is like microwave for me. Okay? But quickly is not like that for God. And when his divine character is completely replaced in his people, he will come quickly to take us home. The open window should be the center of our affections for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to leave you with this thought, friend. That no matter where you're at in life, no matter where you're at with Jesus today, remember this. This world is not your home.